The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
From sunny California to the world, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Jason Casey, Sam Platts, Kareem Daniels, and Diana Hong. And now, remember, the show is free. Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Nate Darling Show. Thank you for being with us. Jason here from the beginning of the show.
What up?
Sam here, as always.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Although, well, I say that now. Next week, you'll have to miss.
Be doing nights or something. Yeah.
So we'll got that all going on. I'm not even going to mention Diana. Just assume she's not here. Kareem doing something.
To his anus.
Yeah.
Or his anus is doing something to him.
Behind the anus with Kareem Daniels.
He's going to see a whole new side to himself.
We should do a call. We should call him right now and just have him on the show.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
No, I'm afraid he might be in the bathroom.
No, that's great pod.
Yo, what's up?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Yeah, that would be great. This is exactly what his anus is saying.
That's exactly what his anus is saying.
Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk 4-foot butts.
I cannot lie.
What is really making us fat? People in Canada believe they've got it figured out.
Figured it?
Mm-hmm. And why Kylie Jenner can't win.
Oh, she can't.
I know, it's crazy. But first off, gentlemen. Any plans this weekend? Anything good? Anything exciting?
I don't know much about the weekend. I know Friday, one of Nikki's friends is having a birthday, and we're going to have some grub in and go to the roller skating rink, like we used to do back when we were in high school.
The four wheels roller skating
rink? The four wheels,
ooh,
bro.
You're not going to bring your own rollerblades?
You know, I'm going to have to rent. I don't have any that fit me anymore.
That'll be interesting.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Disco ball going. Ooh, might roll up to the arcade, play a little Ninja Turtles arcade once in a while.
You have somebody to couple to dance with.
Oh, yeah. That's the best part. Because that was always the worst when you had to get off the floor because you were a loner.
And you had to go try to find someone.
Right. The pressure, dude. Just that sweaty palm.
Just that reminder that you're a loser alone in the world.
Yeah.
And you retreat again to the arcade area.
Yep.
With all the other sweaty palm losers.
See who can get the best score on hard driving.
Mm-hmm.
Who can get the furthest in the stunt track?
Yeah.
Who has the high score in Centipede? Oh wait,
Galaxian,
Galaga.
I'm sorry.
Jeez. Oh, fuck, man.
Forget me.
Pac-Man. Donkey Kong.
Ooh. You know,
I can kick some ass at all of those, dude. Yeah.
Got all sorts of stuff going on. So
how about you? What do you guys got going on?
Jason, anything?
A couple of things. We close on our house next Tuesday.
Damn.
I think
the finish line.
Yeah, right. Chris is she's signing the contracts this Thursday. We'll have her final walkthrough. They haven't put the counters in. They're on order, so hopefully that goes through. But we're going to go ahead.
What?
I know.
House with no counters.
Well, just in one area. It's not.
Where are you supposed to have sex?
That's on the bar, which is like 5 feet high, so it's barely tall enough for me to even like put my head up to.
I am an FBI agent.
I don't know what that has to do with your house.
Sounds important though.
So we close. So this weekend there's going to be a lot. We'll probably start packing shit up and getting things ready. And then also, I think that it's probably okay to say something about this.
Because
we just went to the doctor's yesterday, and
you're beginning your transition.
I'm.
Hey!
Chris is pregnant.
Oh, that is awesome news!
Yeah,
congratulations!
Yeah.
So.
Hey yo.
So somebody.
Oh, good for you.
Good
for
you. Seriously
though,
that's exciting news. Dude.
I know, right? I just can't wait. Like, just
offspring,
be like,
bro.
Like, hey, fuck all y'all haters out there.
Yo,
guess what happened? Jason came up. Jason came up. Gonna have a baby. Has a wife. She's hot. has a house.
Things happen, son.
Yeah.
You're an inspiration to us all.
You know what?
The offspring.
That's right. Jason's Fitting. Having offspring.
The mini me.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, that's crazy, right?
Hold on.
So.
Hold on 1 second. Now dance for good chance, man. Congratulations.
Dance. Yeah. I just like really like if any of you guys like the listeners out there that have been dedicated to this podcast for 5 years now.
Five years this summer.
You heard some of the early podcasts that I was on.
That's right. You used to guest quite a bit.
And you probably are just as surprised as everyone else as to where my life has led me. For now. So.
Well, I think the song even more appropriate.
Yeah. Dude, that's exciting.
That is very exciting news. I believe you will be the first member of this podcast
to bear child.
Well, Christiana already had a child when she joined the show.
Doesn't count.
Mm-hmm. It does not count. I believe you'll be the first. No, Kareem. Fuck. Kareem's a grandfather.
Oh.
Never mind. You're not special.
Well, you're special in my eyes, Jason.
Special enough to get a kid and a girl.
That's what's up.
You know what? This is going to be the podcast baby.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It'll be a podcast baby.
Oh, that means I get to name it?
No. We actually
could be the godfather.
We already have names picked out. So, for boy or girl.
Do you know the sex?
We don't. Not that it's too early. We're 12 weeks and a couple of days. By the time you hear this podcast, we'll be almost 13 weeks along.
Nice.
Don't know the sex yet. We've gone back and forth. So, we'll figure it out.
Do you have a preference?
I would like a boy just because I know what an asshole guy's.
So you can help shape him.
I can help shape. Yeah, I can make him a good man.
Yeah.
A better man.
That's a good
and if
wish.
It's a woman, I can, you know, we'll be able to. Teach her
self-value.
Exactly.
And know that she's loved.
Yeah. Which is fine, because she has an amazing mom to model after.
Good.
So.
You've done well, my friend.
Yeah.
You have done well.
Yeah.
That was great.
Well, so. Jason, I wish you all the best as a father.
Should be wishing my kid that.
Well, no, I'll wish your kid luck at the time. Good luck.
Good luck, kid.
Grandma horseshoe in your diaper.
It's a good old horseshoe.
It's true.
Oh, this is a great song.
We're going to make him a better man.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to happen. So that's big.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, I can't top that.
Sorry, I didn't even tell you that
way
I was going
to
do that
it,
this.
No, that's cool, man. I'm very happy for you guys. Very extremely happy for you guys.
We have an awesome Facebook prepared, mm-hmm. you know, the announcement that you do on Facebook.
Right.
So be looking for that because it's pretty fucking hilarious.
Oh, definitely. Be on the lookout for that. We'll probably share it on the Facebook page too.
Yeah.
We'll go ahead and do that. And congratulations for doing it in the right order.
Yeah, look at you.
Not having a bastard child.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I really did learn something by having the horrible parenting I had as not that I love my mom and I love my dad.
Of course.
I mean,
they're human beings who made mistakes.
And I was very lucky to be able to learn from them.
Were you a bastard?
Is that an inappropriate question? Were you a bastard?
My mom. I think my mom was given two choices. She could either
get married or
have an abortion.
I think.
I think it was.
Yeah. Well, we're glad she kept you.
Yeah.
Sam.
Inappropriate comment.
Yeah, thanks. Now I really have to think about my fucked up family. You know what it's like thinking that your grandparents told your mom that she should abort you or marry your asshole
dad?
I know,
that's kind of heavy, dude.
Right?
You know, if I had a time machine, I would go back to just before Sam asked if you were a bastard. Just play this.
And now, the Nate Darling Show asks, what the hell were they thinking?
Were you a bastard child?
It's not the type of thing you would even like.
Did you have any relationship with your mother?
with
them. I did. My mom. She was more the rearer. She was pregnant when they got married.
Mm-hmm.
So she was already pregnant when they got married. Yeah. So I mean, I'm a bass. I was not born out of wedlock, but yeah. I be considered a bastard.
Okay.
I was born 2.5 years after my parents got married, so unless I have the longest gestation ever,
it's like
no.
a blue whale,
right?
It's like a blue whale.
Hey, are you calling me fat?
No, I'm saying that that's a long gestation period.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, did they take a long time to give birth?
The bigger the, oh my god,
not give birth, bear child.
It's proportionate to the size of the.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
So the. The little molecules and cells have to keep duplicating, and it takes time.
Mm-hmm. It takes time. The mammal.
Yeah, the more time it's going to require.
There you go.
It's true.
Simple math.
Can't argue with that.
Fun fact for the day, folks.
Sure.
Hey, thanks for bringing that up, Sam.
Yeah. I feel like a more complete individual.
We should have like a cut line that's like the more you know, but like you know, anytime Sam says something really special.
It needs to be educated.
Just be like,
how about this?
We got to stop the madness.
How about that?
Kareem, is that you?
We got that one. Oh, here's one for Sam.
Turn it off! Turn it off!
There's no off switch. People have tried. It just doesn't stop.
All right.
I've tried. Hell.
It's true. Now, the phrase full-blown nut job is not a nice way to describe someone.
It sounds like a sexual act.
No. In this week's cold open on Saturday Night Live, Kate McKinnon was CNN's Kate Bolduan, while Cecily Strong took on the real-life nut Scotty Neil Hughes, a Trump supporter and conservative pundit. Now, the cold open was based off of this from CNN.
Let's get back to the breaking news right now on the race to the White House. Donald Trump's key supporters, at least one of them, Scotty Neil Hughes of USA Radio Networks, is joining us right now. Scotty, thanks very much for joining us. Are you among those Trump supporters who believe it's already virtually a done deal? He's going to get the nomination?
I am, because, I mean, if you look at Governor Kasich last night, I mean, you can tell that Common Core is very active in the state of Ohio, because in his speech he said that not only is he going to go to the convention with the most delegates, but he believes definitely enough to where there would not be a version of a brokered convention, and that is truly a pipe dream at this point. Anything Ted Cruz at this point, he would actually have to win almost 80% of all of the delegates that are remaining, which we're finding to be impossible. And when you do have more than 7.5 million Americans who have voted for Mr. Trump. And these are folks who have been truly had to fight for this vote because they have been abused. They have been slaughtered. They have been made fun of.
They have not been slaughtered. No one has been slaughtered voting for Donald Trump. No one has been slaughtered. So anyway,
everyone is so dramatic.
That's
so dramatic.
That's the lead into Saturday Night Live's parody.
Okay, good.
To At This Hour, I'm Kate Baldwin. I've got the brain for MSNBC, but the hair for Fox News, so here I am at CNN. Well, it's been another bad week for Donald Trump with women. Joining me to talk about it from the Tea Party News Network is Donald Trump defender Scotty Neil Hughes.
Hi, Kate. As a woman, I like Donald Trump, but as a full-blown nut job, I freaking love him.
Okay, but as a woman, how can you keep defending Mr. Trump? He retweeted a sexist, unflattering photo of Ted Cruz's wife.
Okay, so so that was an accident, okay, because Donald's hands are just so big, he can't see every little tweet his fingers retweet. I mean, you know, his hands are this big, flaccid.
That's your actual answer?
That is what I have picked, yes. And let's not forget, Heidi Cruz is no angel. She has been arrested.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. Donald told me she is so fat, she was arrested for having 10 pounds of crack.
That's just a classic pun, dude. That was a good one.
So you
10 pounds of crack.
You can go ahead and check that out. Now Saturday Night Live is being accused of being sexist for that.
God damn you, America. Go right? to fucking hell.
Right.
It's happening. I don't even have to wish it. It's already
like,
happening.
You have one of the strongest, like, it's a
Go ahead.
No, it's just, it's a pretty strong woman cast, like, of right. Saturday Night Live right now, and presence.
It's called comedy. Hello? Yes. Hello? This is where you can point out things like sexism.
Right.
Okay?
And of nut jobbiness.
And nut jobbiness.
Like, they said it right at the top. Like, nut...
Anyone claiming that was sexist is more pathetic than someone who had more of a reason to be upset, like a Trump supporter.
Well, the thing is, it's sexist in that you can't... There are people who literally believe that if you make fun of or question a woman, that it's sexist.
Right.
And that's part of the problem. Because if you want to give them the quote-unquote equal treatment of that microscope mm-hmm. that everyone faces, then there are people who will yell, you're being sexist.
Yeah. This is the state of our world mm-hmm. right now. Understandably so, racism is kind of a hot topic these days. I read a thing just today.
I think racism should be confined to Hot Topic because right. I never go in there.
It's confined a Hot Topic, yes. But with all those teeny boppers and
yep.
and angsty teens. But anyways, no, there was this Gap ad, right? Gap Kids.
Mm-hmm.
That was, it was a girl power thing, right? Like, hey, girl power! And it had like a Mexican girl over here doing the splits, you know, Asian girl over here doing this. And then this white girl in the middle with the black girl, but she happened to be posed with her. The white girl was tall and the mm-hmm. black girl was tiny, and it looked like, you know, her elbow was resting on the black girl's head, and this incited a Twitter hailstorm of mm-hmm. rage. And then one splendid person joined the conversation with a photo from 1 year ago. With the exact same pose with the tall black woman on top of black girl on top of a white girl. It's just a cute pose. There was no racist connotation, but this hypersensitive, I need any reason to bitch and complain about something. So I'm going to take Gap Kids who are trying to promote girl power. And I'm going to say, you guys, I read this whole article about should they have even apologized? And they did. The company came out and apologized. They're sensitive. You know, like everyone.
No, they don't want to lose business.
They don't want to lose. It's they're about the dollars.
They're sensitive to money.
To the wallet. Yeah, but
and that's
whatever.
That's understandable. You almost have to, whether you mean it or not. You have to come out with either the non-apology apology,
right.
That we're sorry we offended you, or sorry you were offended by whatever. It was a whole lot of nothing, that what you're talking about. I saw
that's
that
exactly
too.
Right. But it's like, you can say anything about anyone right now. And then you're going to have to come out and apologize later.
Unless,
so you just zip your lip.
Unless you want to say something about straight white dudes.
Yeah.
And then have
it's
at it.
It's free game, dude.
Have at it.
Free game. Tear the fuck
I
out of those.
I just make fun of straight white dudes because I'm a straight white dude.
Right.
And I feel that it's most appropriate to make fun of myself.
Well, it's the only safe thing because anything else you're going to get
that's what I'm
for.
Saying. Like, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when I play a girl on stage, I play the smartest... Girl.
That's like doing blackface, bro. That's insulting.
Listen, sometimes
you dress like a woman.
Sometimes
you might as well just paint your face black.
It would be horrible if I wouldn't play a woman.
You're
on
doing
stage.
Pussy face, is what you're doing.
That's
doing
pussy face, and
pussy
I'm offended.
Face.
You know, this is all tongue in cheek.
Pussy face.
I dressed up like Steve Urkel 3 years ago.
Nerd face,
and everyone fucking loved it because my friends aren't a bunch of pussies.
Did you blackface yourself?
Straight up, I had a black woman pick out the makeup for me in Walmart.
Yeah?
Yeah. She loved it, dude.
Mm-hmm.
So, the good news is, even though the media makes it sound like, and this is the thing, is Steve Urkel was an idol of mine. I'm going to keep talking over this goddamn no. This is the sound of our society right now, who's so fucking sensitive, that a kid who actually worshipped Jaleel White, who played Steve Urkel, that I wanted to be him for Halloween in first grade, and that was legitimately blackface, because let me tell you about that one.
You were in first grade, though?
In first grade.
So this wasn't like last week? Like
no,
last...
this happened 2 years ago, too, or 3 years ago. But it happened first in 1991, when...
I would say at that age, it's probably okay because you're a kid and it's like, yeah, but you say you want to be like him. Like, no.
Exactly,
I mean,
but
like,
it's the same thing. I fucking love Steve Urkel.
But see, like, there's no reason to put on the black. You just fucking dress up like Steve Urkel without being in blackface.
But no,
like,
no. Because what about young Bruno Mars who worshipped fucking Elvis? He dresses up like Elvis.
Yeah, does he
put makeup on?
What does he put makeup on? What do you mean?
He puts makeup on.
When
he was a little boy.
But does he now?
No.
Okay, because he's not a kid.
But anyways,
no.
But you dress like a woman. You dress like a woman. Why is that any different than going blackface?
No, he doesn't dress up as a woman. When you're doing an improv scene, I'll explain what's going on. When you're doing an improv scene, oftentimes you will create characters that are of whatever they might be, no matter what you are. And a lot of times, in an improv group, there might be one, maybe two women in the entire cast, or even none.
So someone has to take the female role.
Someone will take on the female role if whatever you're doing is a scene where between a couple.
Yeah, or even say, like, it's another woman on stage and you want to be a woman. Like, why does she always have to be your wife or your mom or your co? Like, she can be, you can be a woman with her. Or it's like,
well,
I am
simply
improv.
Offended.
Well, I'm sorry. That's the way improv is.
If there's any time for improv, Halloween's it.
But that's not improv.
Halloween's the night.
You're making a choice as a grown human being. That you know something is very offensive to people. Like, here's the thing. It's like, this is why I can't hear any argument on it. Like, and I
but
apologize.
Why?
Why is it
offensive?
I love you,
Can
Sam.
Can someone tell me why?
Okay.
The second I hear why, I will shut my mouth.
So,
why is it offensive?
First, if
that I love this actor so much. Why is that
offensive?
Do you
want to let me talk?
I do.
All right. All right. So, first, somebody does not need a valid reason to be offended necessarily. All
yes,
right?
They do.
No, they do not.
Otherwise, why should I care? It's your opinion. America is full of opinion. No, opinion doesn't matter. Opinion
There's a large
acute
group.
Obtuse.
There's a huge group of African-American people that are offended anytime a white person paints their face black because of a time
My
in
face
history.
Was not painted black. My face was matching almost the exact tone of his face.
It does. Okay, you're putting
I could
on,
understand if my face was black, that'd be offensive, because that's how it was back when blackface was a thing. They used shoe polish, and they made big, fat lips. That's offensive. I actually looked like Steve Urkel, which is actually a tribute to him.
No, but here's the thing, is that it makes a lot of people unhappy, and
I think it's the loud majority, or minority unhappy, because there were almost half the people at the party were black, and I'd say at least 60% of them had some comment that was very positive. None of them said anything negative about
it. Do you think if 60% of them and 40% of them did not, but 40% of them did not
but
say
But no one said anything negative.
Right, because you know what, Sam? I almost want to come up and tell you, you're a fucking racist. Like, so you think somebody's going to come
No,
because
they're not pussies, and they're like, oh, it's Halloween. The guy's having fun.
And actually, yeah, people will do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
People do.
Especially in California.
I guarantee you, if somebody was legitimately offended, they would have come up and either told Sam or told somebody else. Hey,
or they would have physically assaulted me because I'm a white kid in the middle class.
Somebody would have come up and said, hey, Sam's being an asshole right now. What's going on?
And guess what? I would have apologized if someone was offended. But this is the thing. Halloween, put your offenses aside. There are people who dress like the most offensive things on purpose. I was actually dressing like an idol. I adore.
I dressed up as Ron Jeremy with a dick hanging out of my pants once. Do you think I really...
See? Offensive. Yeah.
I'm just fucking... I love the fact I was just fucking with Sam this whole time. I just enjoyed the fact that he was
The thing
so
is,
funny.
I've actually gotten only a couple people, but they are... very passionate against the fact that I dress like someone that I admire, Steve Urkel. Whereas
I think their problem was that you admired Steve Urkel.
That's probably it.
What I find really interesting is that you got very offended while doing a rant about people being offended by things.
Yeah, but this is the thing, is I don't care if you care how offended I was. I respect your American right to not give a fuck about what I think.
No, I just thought it was great.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
someone has to speak up.
Now, Institutions of higher learning are great places sometimes. A project at a Portland community college called Whiteness History Month is attempting to deconstruct the concept of white privilege. Let's take a listen to this video titled Whiteness History Month, Context, Consequences,
now we're talking,
and Change. What is Whiteness History Month?
As y'all may have heard, Portland Community College is engaging in a bold new adventure where others have yet to go. Oh, really?
It says people have studied whiteness before.
Been around since the 90s?
Classes since the 90s.
Okay. Well, regardless of how long people have officially been studying it, I'm talking about PCC's Whiteness History Month, Context, Consequences, and Change. So, what is Whiteness History Month? Well, it's a project created by the Cascade Diversity Council that's looking to examine race and racism through a study of whiteness. Whiteness as an idea means something in our society. Context looks at when, how, and why it was created. Consequences looks at who benefits and who doesn't from its creation. And change seeks to propose practical solutions and alternatives to a culture of white supremacy. Put simply, Whiteness History Month is an effort to change our campus climate by changing how we talk about racism. We envision there being a host of different events, lectures, films, art exhibits, community dialogues, classroom discussions, you name it. We want to reach as many people and learning styles as possible. Be on the lookout for more information and our calendar of events at our website, pcc.edu/whm. And stay tuned for more videos over the next few weeks. We'll see you in April.
So that's what's going on in Portland.
This is all like mockumentary style.
No, this is real. This is totally real.
Portland Community College.
Portland Community College. Whiteness History Month.
All right.
So, Jason, I saw your white guilt ebbing to the top.
Oh yeah.
What are your thoughts?
No, I just thought it's fine and whatnot. it's fine. Whatever.
And whatnot.
Whatever. Like, but I just like the selective wording here on this one part of this where, it has a quote and it says. The project seeks to challenge the master narrative of race and racism through an exploration of the social construction of whiteness. I just thought that it was probably a poor choice of words to say the master narrative of race, you know, just because that's very offensive.
Right. Use the word master.
Yeah.
Well, race. One of the local stations there, K2, Two on Your Side, did a story about it. So let's listen to that a little bit.
They had to say.
This is not about shaming white people. It's really about providing a better understanding for all of us.
Whiteness History Month launches at Portland Community College. The school says it's meant to help fight racial bias and hidden prejudices, but some students say it rubs them the wrong way.
K2's Joe Douglas joins us live. And Joe, you're answering some probing questions yourself.
Deb, I'm taking an implicit bias test by Harvard researchers that folks here on campus are taking today. And here,
by the way, both anchors and the reporter, white is the driven snow.
Or cold are your feelings towards dark-skinned people?
I think what they were trying to do is a good idea.
William Haley, a freshman at PCC, says he knows he's privileged. If he gets pulled over by a police officer, for example, he admits he may very well be treated much better than a person of color.
We just get an easier hall pass in a lot of things that isn't rightly deserved in a lot of cases.
Haley and one of his classmates, Abdullah, tell me they like the goal behind it, but feel the name Whiteness History Month is misleading.
You don't want to call it Whiteness History Month. You just make it seem like it's all about white people.
I just think that they did a bad job.
Why can't it be all about white people? Why can't we have a month?
Just describes whiteness this way.
Whiteness is a word used to describe the process that created races and perpetuates racism.
And Craig Collins, Dean of Instruction at PCC's Southeast Portland campus, says this is the goal of Whiteness History Month.
So this is an opportunity to dialogue about some of the tensions that...
we're going to dialogue about the tensions...
The societal pressure of whiteness. There are racist situations that happen in classrooms, and it's to try to overcome those.
Lectures, discussions, and other activities are being held at all PCC campuses this month. Nearly 100 events are planned, and anyone can go. An event we went to was attended almost entirely by faculty members and only about two or three students.
I hope there's something good that comes out of it. I don't know if it will. I don't know if it will not. But people should learn that, you know. There's people out there who are going to smile, but behind your back, something's going to happen.
That was an African-American student that we heard from there. I don't know what he means by something's going to happen, but...
Behind your back.
Behind your back, something's going to happen. I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. But interesting, at the very least.
Yeah, because when you played that first clip, I was thinking this was another Saturday Night Live clip.
No. It's a legitimate thing.
Because she actually stopped and said, is that the script or something like that in the beginning?
She's going to flip the script, I believe, was part of what it was.
Yeah, flip the script.
Okay.
Flip it.
So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this. But it has gotten to the point where in a lot of circles, being white is suddenly being evil.
Yeah.
And that's just as racist as anything else, except you're not allowed to say that.
Yeah, because if
you say that you're being racist against white people, they're like, no, you can't be. Mm-mm. Well, you can.
Yeah.
You can be. And
the idea of whiteness, you know, perpetuating that, I would totally stand by that because it happens in non-white cultures, including Africa and India, where the lighter skinned of the race still is the dominant and they make the darker skin the lower.
Well, and that sort of falls in line with that whole Nina Simone documentary pic,
right,
or biopic, that came up, and why so many people were upset that an actress who's lighter skinned is playing Nina Simone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, just be nice to each other.
Let's just be nice to each
other. Be nice to each other.
Stop being assholes. Stop being assholes and stop teaching your kids to be assholes.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can do is be nice to each other.
Yeah, right. Jason, don't teach your kid to be an asshole.
I make sure that my kid is not an asshole, but between the ages of 11 and 17, I'll probably have a hard time because
they're going to be an asshole for a period.
Probably all the way to 19.
But you do your part. And then it's out of your hands.
If I can do well enough for that first 9 years and limit the amount of trauma that child sees or is part of,
right,
much unlike my own youth. You know?
Oh, no, you didn't.
If my kid never has to, you know, sit in the car waiting outside the bar in the truck while his dad's in the bar for a couple hours.
I don't know if it's okay to be laughing at this.
No, it's so as long as I don't do that, I think I'll be winning.
Yes.
At being a
you
father.
You can reduce the size of your kid's assholeness.
Yeah, I know, because, like, I'm not an asshole. And,
no,
like,
you're not.
I was left
you're
in the car multiple times when my dad went into the bars.
Right.
And honestly, having known you for a while now, I think the person that you were the cruelest to was yourself.
Oh,
right.
I think you're the only person I've ever seen you be a real prick to is yourself.
Yeah. It's a statement to the fact of, like, once I stopped drinking, it, like, really, because I was, like, the biggest prick move to myself. But once I stopped drinking, like, within 2 years, like, I found love, happiness, and, like, you know,
awesome.
Having a kid. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So, yeah, I would agree with that. It's, so thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad.
I'm enjoying an Upheaval IPA from Widmer Brothers right now as Jason is talking about the evils of drinking.
And I've already finished my second Sudwerk Doppelbach.
For me. Not for anybody else, but for me.
No,
obviously, it did positive things in my life.
Absolutely.
Of course.
My father's an alcoholic, and
I'm not talking about alcoholics. I get it.
For some reason, the country of Indonesia has a beef with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Indonesia?
Yeah, Indonesia.
Well, it's because he doesn't like Indonesian chicks. They've been trying to sell them on him for years, and he's just not buying.
They've been trying to sell it on him for years.
Indonesia is threatening to impose a ban preventing our favorite iced-over lover from crossing its borders. See, Indonesia apparently can let go, and it just might. According to the AV Club, this unimaginable dislike stems from DiCaprio's recent criticism of deforestation taking place in the country's rainforest, where numerous animal habitats are being destroyed with slash-and-burn practices designed to facilitate the building of lucrative palm oil plantations. So stop with your palm oil, you sons of bitches.
You are causing homelessness of animals.
Mm-hmm. DiCaprio spoke out via his Instagram account, where he posted a picture of himself mid-fist bump with a Sumatran orangutan.
It's cute.
Indonesia doesn't think it's cute. The country's spokesperson told reporters, "We support his concern to save the ecosystem, but we can blacklist him from returning to Indonesia anytime if he keeps posting incitement and provocative statements on social media."
That's what happens when you don't have free speech.
Yeah, you know, look, you don't have to come back here.
No. Damn.
Yeah, so they got a problem with
you
with
fist bumping our orangutan, motherfucker?
Yeah, you may finally have your Oscar, Leo, but we don't want you here.
We don't want you here.
Allegedly. What's going on with that?
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, parodies. Parodies, Jason.
Oh, parodies are fucking dope. Dope. Cool. Mm-hmm. So cool. You know how cool they are?
How cool are they?
Oh, my God. It's like that Delta breeze coming up.
I love the Delta breeze.
4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Bro. So cool.
There's nothing more refreshing.
Sam, parodies?
Parodies are... Well, they're like a smooth jazz song on a sexually tense evening.
Cool.
They're
confused.
Very cool.
Okay.
They're hella cool. They come in at the right time and just kind of ease your woes.
Parody well done is incredibly cool.
Yeah.
Parody poorly done, that's very Tool.
Yeah.
So it's basically how good you are.
Depends.
At it. Like sex. Up next in Cooler Tool, being white. Sam.
Well, you know, apparently they got a lot of privilege, and that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all about sharing the privilege. If we can all figure out a way to make that happen, I'm down. But yeah, I'm cool with. I like myself.
Jason.
Oh, it's the coolest. Yeah, I like being.
We resemble snowmen, right? So, at least closer than most people.
Some of us in body type. Yeah, being cool is white. Being white is cool. They're interchangeable. Have I mentioned that a people IPA? Yeah, it's cool. And you know what? I don't want to share privilege. I want to share equality with everybody.
That's what's up.
I want us to all.
But some people don't want equality.
No. They want revenge or retribution,
right?
Or whatever. I want equality. I want people to be treated the same. Yeah. I believe Martin Luther King Jr. said that. I agree.
It's a beautiful dream.
I'm just going to ask, please, if you're a Southern hillbilly, do not shoot me as I step out for a breath on the balcony.
Boom.
No, you're
for
history.
A breath on the balcony.
That's when they shot Martin Luther King, yes. Son of a bitch. And finally, in Cooler Tool, Indonesia, Jason.
How dare you say anything about my man, Leo, motherfucker. You want to know what? You know how much, how fucking big of a Tool Indonesia is?
Oh, no. Well, I bet you're going to tell me.
Like, it's such a big tool.
What kind of tool are you talking
about? I'm talking about, like, one of those
Indonesia
big excavators.
Tool?
One of those big, huge, like, excavators.
Like
that,
the like, dig out a mountainside?
Dig out a mountainside.
For a little iron mine?
That's how tool they are.
Fuck.
Destroying habitat?
Shit. Yeah.
Sam?
Indonesia. So many of the clothes I wear is made in Indonesia by little slaves. I don't know if that's
where
true.
Where are you going from
I'm
here?
I'm not sure that that's true. I just, you know, I assume.
No, if you get them from Kohl's, most likely.
Yeah, Kohl's is probably made in Indonesia.
Mm.
You know, and I like to think my fashion's decent. But no, these statements against a guy whose desire is just to fist bump an orangutan. Fuck you.
Yeah, right?
You are as tool as they come, Indonesia. You let the guy say what he wants, and you know what? Do your thing. What about you, Nate? What you thinking over there?
Well, this is the original music for Cool or Tool, so...
Is this really?
It is.
Bro.
is the original music that
I picked. It's very cool and Tool at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Wait till the Tool really kicks in right here. Indonesia
throwback
is Tool.
Yeah.
Listen, they can't even pull themselves together as a landmass. They're a bunch of fucking islands scattered about.
Yeah.
And all they want to do is make fucking palm oil for assholes and say fuck you to the orangutans.
Yeah.
Not some little fucking rat you can't see. A goddamn intelligent orangutan. Yeah. Have you seen Any Which Way But Loose?
Or
oh yes,
or Every Which Way You Can.
Exactly.
That's it. Yeah.
The sequels.
Yeah.
There are two movies.
Uh-huh.
Right Turn, Clyde. I want the orangutan to punch Indonesia in the face.
Yeah.
Or at least the spokesperson.
I was like, oh my God.
No, the whole country, right in the face.
Because maybe there's some of those Indonesians over there being like, yo, we love Leo.
I grew up on those movies. And, you know, fuck any place. Fuck any place that's going to
disrespect orangutans. Yeah.
It's true.
You know, Dr. Zaius, wasn't he the orangutan of the Planet of the Apes saga?
That was not an orangutan, Sam.
God damn it, Nate.
What the fuck, dude?
Dr. Zaius?
Not an orangutan.
He was orange furry.
You know
fuck.
What?
I'm going to look this up. I don't think you're right. I think your mom's right.
All right. So we talked about this beginning of the show. Kylie Jenner just can't win. She gave three young girls the selfies they'd been dying to get. A totally sweet moment, right? Until their grandfather got into a melee with photographers capturing the moment. By the way, Grandpa was wearing a hat and overalls. I don't know what he was doing. Kylie was rushing out of the nice guy when girls popped up and took their shot. And this time she obliged, but according to the video, because the girls had their own protection, Grandpa popped up. After it went down at Craig's last week, it looks like Grandpa, the guy in overalls, who wasn't going to let his little angels get shoved around. The brawl is insane, and Gramps was the one who refused to cool down. Mm-hmm. Let's check out a little of the audio from this fight. Here's the TMZ.
Are you guys going to try to get another photo?
Yes, of course I am.
You didn't get a photo last time and it broke your heart?
No, and it really made us upset.
Okay. Do you feel like it's dangerous out here?
Yeah, it was kind of scary, but I just really want to get a picture with
us. Do you have a message for Kylie Jenner?
Yes, please take a picture with us.
We love you.
Okay. Are you afraid of her bodyguard?
I'm not afraid of her bodyguard.
I'm not afraid of her bodyguard. Are you kidding me?
I'm not afraid of her bodyguard.
Okay. I'm not afraid of her bodyguard.
Okay, so make a hole. Excuse me.
Here comes Kylie.
They've been waiting.
Please narrate what's happening,
so
Nate.
This,
things are escalating, I can tell by the beeping.
This little dude who looks like he might be a paparazzi of Middle Eastern descent starts diving at the grandpa, who is literally wearing a hat. I'm not sure if it's a cigarette in the corner of his mouth. He's got overalls and a hat. Like a wide-brimmed hat.
You're supposed to be home.
Because basically when these girls were like, hey, can we take a selfie?
Mm-hmm.
She said, okay. All of these photographers started...
still on the show.
Well, they started pushing in, and he was holding them back.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Oh, you suck my
Go home, fuck grandpa.
Oh, you, you chapless jack off. Get a real f***ing job. You used to see? Get a real f***ing job.
Go home, grandpa.
See what happens when Kylie Jenner stops.
So it would have been safer for those poor two young girls if she just kept on walking.
Well, here's the thing, though. The melee that erupted, apparently the mother of one of the three girls who were waiting for Kylie outside, when the grandfather opened a can of whoop-ass, said she wants to remain anonymous. She says that Grandpa had a few drinks before going out. And then some more at the bar. Apparently, the family had gone to the nice guy specifically to see Kylie Jenner because her 11-year-old daughter and two friends were obsessed. She says the girls are now grounded.
That's the problem right there.
The girls are now grounded from following Kylie.
Good.
Because she doesn't want people thinking they're stalkers. As for Grandpa, she insists normally he's a warm, caring man. He was not grounded.
I just don't, like, the parents are like, oh, hey, yeah, no, listen, we'll go inside, we'll have a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
This sounds like my dad.
Let's go get schwasted and take you to a...
That's something my dad would have done.
I just need to tag back one more time here. I went to planetoftheapes.com.wikia, and Dr. Zayas, the first thing it says, biographical information, species, orangutan.
Oh, okay.
All right, Sam, there you were right.
Thank you. I'll leave it at that. It's a gorgeous photo of Dr. Zayas, by the way. He looks so inquisitive.
All right. Headline from the New York Post. 2,000 squats per day gave curvy twins 4-foot butts.
4 foot?
And they
like
cannot
2 feet in each cheek?
You
like
know,
4 foot accumulative?
Well, let me read
that's
a
lot of feet,
you.
Dude. That's taller than some 9-year-old.
Identical twins Miriam and Michelle Carolus claim that their 4 foot derriere is the result of 2,000 squats a day. Say, we make sure we eat the same, exercise the same, everything the same. We try to do a couple thousand squats a day to keep in shape. It wouldn't be all the same time. It's usually stretched out over something like 9 hours.
I hate them.
It would be really hard to do 2,000 squats, you know, in a row.
In a row.
The furiously fit twosome, who racked up nearly 250,000 followers on Instagram, also revealed that they earned a combined $30,000 after breaking into modeling as the Double Dose Twins 2 years ago, saying, it started off with Instagram. We never had social media before then. We posted a picture and it got a lot of attention the first shoot we did. We've had a lot of bookings for magazines and offers to travel. Modeling is actually a lot of fun.
I'm sure it is.
Their ventures have taken them to the far corners of the globe, including Dubai. The Miami-based sisters currently work for the same plastic surgeon. What?
Have mercy.
Although they shelled out $5,000 each to boost their B cups to D cups, their most notorious assets are Au Naturel. We'd never consider surgery on our butts. Our workout plan pretty much takes care of that. When you do it naturally through hard work, it makes you feel a lot better about yourself.
You disgust me.
Seeking the help of King Fitness owner and founder Bahaim King, the sisters sustained their fit frames using the regimen he created, which includes a mixture of boxing, weight training, MMA, plyometrics in order to score the part Beyonce, part Serena Williams result. There are hundreds of
Serena Williams.
Mm-hmm. Hundreds of squats are also required during their regular workout. The sisters will squat up to 100 times each throughout the day, working up to 2,000 in total. We'll work out the exact same time to make sure that one of us has done more, the other will have to catch up. A solid exercise routine is only half the battle as they maintain their 36-22-46 measurements with an identical diet of smoothies, salad, protein shakes, and fat burners as well. We generally stick to a healthy diet, and it's the same all the time. We're very strict about this. It's like a mirror. If we ever want to know I'm looking good or not, I will just look at my sister.
If I ever want to know if I'm good looking or not. Oh.
Now, they don't live under the same roof anymore, but they do live just one door apart. We have the same hobbies, and if one of us gets something for the house, the other has to do it as well. We'll spend our nights at each other's house every day, and if one of us gets the other's nerves, we can just tell them to go home. When it comes to their personal lives, however, the unattached twins have no trouble turning heads from the opposite sex, saying, it's not hard for us to get attention from guys, but it's hard for them to get attention from us. We're out of the club, we get a lot of attention, and there'll be a lot of double takes for us. Some guys even think they can go after us together, which is so lame. We share most things, but we'll never share a guy.
Oh my god, I hate them.
That's like famous last words. Like, I can't wait to read about one of them killing the other one because she was fucking
took
her
the
man.
Same guy.
Yeah. Now, what's really fun is Sam being a twin has a unique perspective on that.
Absolutely.
I know you and your brother are very different. You're very similar,
matter of fact,
but very different.
We had the opposite twin conundrum where we fought. Especially through those pubescent years, to solidify our identity as separate from the other twin.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to grow my hair out, he would cut his short. If he wanted to, whatever. And I mean, it was as strict as, like, if I found a band that I loved and I was cool that my brother liked it, I still wouldn't let him buy the CD. That was my band, bro. Like, it was hardcore. And to hear these bitches be all crazy, like, we make sure that we do the same workout.
Oh, hold on, hold on. I got...
They follow the same grueling exercise regime.
Yes.
We try to do like a couple thousand squats a day.
They have identical diets.
We always have to make sure we prepare the same meal as down far as service.
You know, my impression
was...
And
the same psychological disorders.
My impression was pretty close, and I had
you
not
were damn
listened
close,
to that.
Son.
That sounds like our person at the top of the show.
Right. It's got that British allure.
Oh, no, you did it.
It's true.
Oh, no, you did it.
It is totally true.
And now Florida Corner.
All right. Now, Canadians are a pretty obedient bunch when it comes to eating what the government says they should be eating. Over the past three decades, they've upped their intake of fruits and vegetables while reducing fat and dairy. They've increased grains and fish in the diet and reduced red meat, eggs, and butter. Even scaling back on sugars, not counting high fructose corn syrup, which is in processed foods and soft drinks. Yet, despite an overall adherence to the Canada Food Guide, held up as the country's trustworthy blueprint for what should be a healthy, nutritious diet, the country is in the grip of an obesity epidemic with two-thirds of adults considered obese or overweight, and the obesity rate's double that of 1980.
Uh-oh.
So what gives? And that actually mirrors the United States.
Mm.
One U.S. science journalist and author says it's because the food guide got it all wrong. Mm. Canadians have, on the whole, followed their food guidelines. That's according to Nina T. Schultz. Everything that's supposed to be up is up, and everything that's supposed to be down is down. The evidence shows the public has complied and has gotten fatter and sicker.
Damn.
Now, among its recommendations, the guide advises adults to eat 6 to 8 servings of grain products a day and to limit saturated fat, which occurs naturally in animal products such as eggs, dairy, and meat, as well as in some vegetable oils like coconut and palm oils. It counsels Canadians to trim visible fat from meat, limit butter, and cook without or with little added fat. It also advises consuming only 2 to 3 tablespoons of unsaturated fat, often described as the good fat that is found in plant-based oils and foods daily. It's precisely that this fixation on carbohydrates at the expense of saturated fat that is driving obesity and the obesity-related chronic diseases.
Mm-hmm.
That's according to her best-selling book, The Big Fat Surprise. Jason, you okay there?
Oh, yeah.
You're breathing right into the mic.
Am I?
It's a lot of...
Sorry.
That's okay. It's a good. It's almost relaxing.
I didn't hear it.
Like, it's like you're laying right next to me, breathing in my ear, and I enjoy it. Really.
The demonizing of saturated fat was based on a landmark 7-country study that found an association between coronary heart disease and total cholesterol levels. The evidence was weak and preliminary, according to T. Schultz. It didn't stop the American Heart Association pushing the idea in 1961 that saturated fat and dietary cholesterol caused heart disease. At the time, the U.S. was in a panic over rising heart disease. The organization needed to say something, and everyone got on board with the hypothesis. And that has become the accepted dogma adopted by leading scientists. Now, since then, more rigorous billion-dollar government-funded clinical trials involving tens of thousands of participants have failed to find an association between saturated fat and heart disease.
Uh-oh.
All of those reviews clearly imply that saturated fat has been unfairly condemned. She testified in Ottawa last year at a Senate committee hearing on finding ways to curb Canada's rising obesity rates. The result of the hearing, a damning report released last month that eviscerated Canada's food guide as dated and at best ineffective and at worst enabling the country's obesity product.
Damn.
Witnesses told the committee that fat consumption in the early 70s made up about 40% of daily calories. Then Canadians started to heed the exhortation of to reduce fat and reduce their fat intake to 31% by 2004. But during this time, obesity rates spiked, which suggests that dietary fat is not a primary contributing factor in obesity. A higher fat diet, one that has more fat than the current diet, limits fat consumption to 25 to 35% of total calories, is in fact healthier and a better disease fighter than a low fat diet, according to this researcher, citing more than one dozen reviews and a meta-analysis that concluded saturated fat is not associated with heart disease and has no effect on cardiovascular mortality. But she said many of these studies are ignored and often even stricken from the record because they go against the government's official low-fat dietary advice. She was uninvited recently from a panel at the National Food Policy Conference in Washington, D.C. So I've heard a lot about this lately because that's the big thing. It's like, what is the right way to eat? What should you eat? What shouldn't you eat?
It's always a trend, dude. It's always a trend. Atkins was a hot shit for a minute, and it was like, oh, cut out the bread. And then they folded that towel, and they're like, well, what now?
And it was the caveman diet.
The caveman. Go paleo.
The paleo, yeah.
Paleo, eat nothing but meat and wild animal. And, you know, just fucking eat some food and don't eat a lot of it. Don't eat too much.
Yeah, what I found success when I have lost weight and I've started doing this again, and in about a week and a half, I've lost 7.5 pounds.
In a week and a half. That's damn good.
Basically, staying away from processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
And I eat red meat.
Right.
I eat cheese. I eat. But I don't eat processed. I've tried to stay away from processed foods as much as possible.
They kind of said it in this thing. The one thing they said, people were cutting out sugars, but not the high fructose corn syrup. That's actually, I have a friend who lost, I don't know, probably 35, 40 pounds in a short amount of time. And all he changed was no more soda,
mm-hmm.
no more added sugar shit.
Yeah, that's
period.
That's the big thing. And I've tried to cut out and limit. When I lost 65 pounds a couple of years mm-hmm. ago, that's what I did. It was basically no sugar.
Right.
Other than what occurred naturally
in your fruits. Right.
Right. Well, yeah, I think that's the thing to add is that it's the,
it's okay to have sugar.
Well, no, it's the one. This is the thing that my wife gets. She talks about a lot because she's a scientist, right?
Yeah.
And she says corn syrup is still sugar, and your mm-hmm. body processes all the sugar mm-hmm. the same. Right. So trying to say that it's like corn syrup is bad versus real sugar, it's all real sugar. It's just like GMO foods, like everything has been genetically modified that you're eating from a farm. Any food that you're eating has been genetically modified in some way. Whether or not, anyhow. So, but the sugar thing, she says that there's no, like, your body processes it the same. Like, it doesn't matter if it's corn syrup or natural sugar. Like, it all is going to do the same thing.
Well, but I mean, it's just the amount of intake, because people are drinking sodas like water.
That is
matter
the issue.
Of fact, well, I knew a girl who didn't drink water.
Mm-hmm.
She drank soda.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how the fuck are you alive right now?
Well, and the big thing is, it's not just soda.
Empty calories, right?
It's not just soda. It's the fact that high fructose corn syrup is in everything.
Right, yeah. Even your bread.
That's a big place.
You look
where
at your bread, it's like the second ingredient.
Oh yeah, no, that's why it's a bad rap. I mean,
right.
Because it's really easy.
It's cheap and expensive.
It's
to get.
Really easy to spot because that's what they use in so many things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look, like, the stuff, like, it's where you also have to look for sugar when you're looking at that
absolutely,
stuff, too.
Absolutely,
yeah. So, like, there's Hunt's, or no, Heinz. Heinz just came out with a new ketchup.
Right.
That doesn't have added sugar to it.
Right.
And it's just, and it tastes like real ketchup. It doesn't taste like, but you have to look for that one, because if you look at the one that's organic or whatever, it has, one of them has real sugar in it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they have so many different types.
Well,
that...
and the other thing is when everybody came out with the low-fat products, because fat was evil.
Right.
They
reduced fat.
They reduced the fat, but in order to make it taste halfway decent, they upped the sugar.
Upped the sugar.
And when you up the sugar, that's where you're getting things.
What movie was that where they talked about that? It was a movie that they showed that...
I don't know.
All I know is I recall my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're a little preteen coming home from school and you're hungry and you're looking for the snackage, some of the nom nom, and mother has declared that her Entenmann's reduced fat treats are only for her because she's on a diet.
Those are not treats.
And those were the only good looking thing. Those were the sweets, bro. We're talking lemon cake with a glaze. We're talking fucking donuts. But this was, it said reduced fat, so my mother thought she was going to lose weight on it. No, my mom never lost weight on that. I assure you that. Well, I'll leave it. Mom, I love you. You know it.
Yeah.
Don't alienate like the one person that listens to the show regularly.
Sorry, Mom.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I know everybody that's out there listens.
Sure. What are you doing?
Me?
What are you doing? What are you trying to do?
Nothing.
I demand to know. You're killing us, is what
but
you're
I love
doing.
A good Twinkie.
Trying to
Lord knows.
Sex this thing up.
A good Twinkie.
Oh,
Jesus.
Yeah.
From goofballs to getches.
There it is.
Here's Florida Corner.
accidentally licked the mic. That was gross. I don't know who spits on this.
Headline, thousands of jellyfish wash up on... Yeah, they walked up.
They walk up.
That'd be a fuck of a trick.
Do the sound effect.
Thousands of jellyfish wash up on South Florida beaches. Some of them are dangerous, too.
That's what it sounds like there, right?
I'm sure that's what they sound like when they're walking.
The city of Hallandale Beach shared photos and a message about the creatures known scientifically as Velea, or by nicknames such as Blue, Purple, By the Wind Sailors, or Sea Rafts, saying, "This AM, thousands of small jellyfish washed up on our beach, covering the shoreline and prompting continuous questions from beach patrons. This happens about once every 3 years. Despite their appearance and similar characteristics, Velea are siphonophores and are not true jellyfish, where jellies are a single distinct organism. Siphonophores are a colony of zooids attached together and act as a single organism."
No fucking way.
Drop some Florida science.
That's
on you.
That's some trippy shit.
That's the most science that they've had in Florida ever.
There's multiple of these jellyfish-like creatures, but they are, in fact, parts of a whole.
You've seen pictures of this before on the internet where like they try to get you to click on something weird, like strangest, weirdest thing
ever.
And,
they, what you're about.
And that's what this is.
Yeah,
it's visually interesting. Now the Velea and the Man-O-War look similar, but the Man-O-War are larger and have an oblong inflated sail. The Velea are more triangular sail and it's flat and not inflated. Only one sting was reported in the first 3 hours as the crews began clearing the beach. So...
okay.
Weird stuff going on in Florida. Now, meantime, this happened. It was just kind of weird. So, come on. Oh, hold on.
You would have thought that they would have used Man of War as their, you know, instead of like, because it says it's closely related to the Man of War. So why not have that be the lead of the story? You know what I mean? Like, talk about jellyfish. Say like
a body cavity. It started with a disturbance call at
a body cavity.
Found a handcuff key hidden in a body cavity. It started with a disturbance call at a Baker County home. When deputies got there, they saw 32-year-old Nicholas Byram leaving, so they followed him. They say he then led them on a chase that reached speeds of 110 miles an hour. The chase ended when Byram's Jeep lost a tire and crashed into a tree. Deputies say he then refused to get out of that Jeep, so they sent a police dog after him. And then when they took him to the hospital, doctors found that key in...
oh, the suspense.
Yeah, he had a handcuff key hidden in his rectum.
That's smart. As a matter of fact, this might sound alarming to you. I was surfing internet.
Go on. Yeah,
I was on Amazon looking at some books.
You clicked through the Nate Darling Show, didn't you?
Of course.
He has a bookmark.
I have it bookmarked. There's a book called like 100 Skills of a ex-CIA or something like that. I don't know. That could save your life. And it explored some of the things you can do if you were ever to be in, like, taken hostage as a prisoner of war or whatever. And they actually recommend stowing a handcuff key in your rectum, as well as having fake scar tissue where you hide razor blades attached to your flesh, and other things. So that's not too much of a shocker over here in the red mic chair.
That's what I mean.
I've thought about having one implanted.
All I can say is that I...
just in case.
I have a nice big scar on my leg, so don't fuck with me.
That's a big-ass razor blade.
And also, there's a reason why it always looks like I'm holding something up my ass.
He's like, this guy walks like he's got a turd ready to pop out, dude. I don't know what it is.
Just handcuff key.
He's like, I've been cuffed too many times.
By the way, have you either of you seen the Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart movie, Get Hard?
Yes.
No.
Where he is, Will Ferrell gets convicted of a white collar crime, gets sentenced to a real prison, and then he assumes that Kevin Hart, who's black and owns a car washing business, has been to prison. So he hires him to train him to get ready for prison.
Oh no!
And they talk about keistering.
The scene where he masters keistering was hilarious.
Yeah,
I had to pause in the middle of the movie because I had to go do something, but. I intend to finish it.
Keistering is...
putting stuff in your keister.
Yeah. Okay. Storing stuff in the hole.
In the butthole.
Okay. Right.
In the anus.
Keistering.
In the anus.
In the anus.
All right, Sam, I picked this story for you.
Oh.
I thought it would be of special interest.
Look into it.
A British museum is offering those with an excitement for excrement to check out several fine fecal exhibits at the National Poo Museum.
National Poo
That's the
museum.
Best ever.
It just
I want to go.
I know. Go. It just opened on Monday on the Isle of Wight. It was
oh, my God, that's the most perfect turd I've ever seen.
This is amazing.
It was created by an artist collective using animal and human droppings.
Oh, my God.
Donated by members of the public and the Isle of Wight Zoo and Dinosaur Isle Museum. The droppings are displayed in illuminated resin spheres after being preserved in a specifically designed drying machine.
Oh.
Curator Daniel Roberts said, "Poo is all around us and inside of us, but we ignore it."
Why? Do we ignore it?
Another co-curator, Nigel George, said poo provokes strong reactions in people.
It does.
Small children naturally delight in it, but later we learn to avoid it.
It's true. Listen to the man. It sounds like madness, but it's true.
Later we learn to avoid this yucky disease-carrying stuff, and even talking about poo is bad. But for most of us, under the layers of disgust and taboo, we're still fascinated by it.
I want to go so bad.
Yeah.
Now,
for my honeymoon.
I want to make my own turd museum.
Well, you are closing on a house. The museum is planned. If you got a garage, there you go. The museum is planned to remain on the Isle of Wight through the end of the summer before going on tour.
Hallelujah.
It will come to Sacramento.
Let's find the Groupon and go together.
I just thought of the best idea. Yeah. All right, guys? So listen. So I'm going to make a whole piece of art. Like, it's going to be like a whole set of art. And I'm going to go to different fast food chain restaurants.
Okay.
All right? And then the shit that I take directly after that. Like, fast for like a day, two days.
Okay.
Make sure I'm clear.
And drink that kombucha.
You can drink some kombucha.
Okay.
Make sure it's clear. And then I will go and eat like a Big Mac, extra large fry, and a milkshake from McDonald's. And then I will wait for myself to shit, capture that shit.
Yeah.
And then I will title that shit.
What you wait?
McDonald's or
value. Then,
or
like you go
or
for
like,
the burrito
or like number
and the
five.
Horchata.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah. I would do main
I would
ones
be fascinated
for like taco.
By it.
I'd do like Taco Bell.
Right.
I would do Carl's like the big the big chains
the
first.
The relatables.
And then I would go to like the you know, maybe like the smaller places like La Garnacha, like be like this is a burrito, like a fish taco from La Garnacha at 2 AM in the morning.
Right.
You know, like this is
It's unmistakable. Right. With a little
too much hot sauce
on there.
Yeah, what do you guys think? You know, this is a night after eating wings.
I would like to submit an art piece into your museum.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Now, okay, this is to go into the we're going to touch on racism again. We have someone from every race eat the exact same meal.
Ooh, and we can see what the turd
and take
is.
A shit and you take all the turds and build a sculpture of a human being.
Mm.
And what you see is that we're all full of shit and all our shit looks the same.
Unless it doesn't.
Well, I liked it until you made it in the shape of a human being. But if it was just like a big, huge turd pile.
A big turd pile. Okay, I'll accept that.
What if it were a Donald Trump sculpture?
Oh, well, I'm down with that.
An effigy that we can
light on fire.
And then stomp out.
Probably burn all right. Stomp out of the flaming bag of poo.
What we could do is we could take it to his house. We could take it in front of the Trump Tower, light it on fire.
In a giant paper bag.
Knock on the door.
And run away.
And run away.
I like the fact that you think it's just knock on the door of the Trump Tower.
Well,
I would put it on the golden escalator and let it go up to the second level.
No, but that would probably catch things on fire, and you don't want to repeat it.
You don't want to actually damage property. You just want a good laugh.
You want a good laugh.
All right. Well, you guys work on that. Get the logistics down and then let me know.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
Sort of the same as last show. This is only Small Town News because it happened in a small town. See, a New Hampshire woman was arrested a few days ago for selling heroin with the name of none other than Donald Trump branded on the bags.
Wow.
Awesome.
I wonder what that did for sales.
According to the Union Leader correspondent, Darcy Hall was busted after a confidential informant managed to organize two heroin buys, one at a McDonald's and the other at a mini mart. She had been under investigation by police and the state attorney general's office drug task force. Now, the detective who saw the heroin bundles wrote in his affidavit, "I also observed that each wax bag was stamped with Donald Trump logo." Hall was pulled over last Thursday and arrested. Authorities searched her car and home and seized the evidence, and apparently she has a history. So your criminal record includes possession of marijuana in 97, possession of a controlled substance in 2013, and three more possessions of a controlled substance in 2014. She's currently on probation for a 2014 conviction for possession of cocaine. Police say that charges of violation of probation are anticipated. Trump and all the other candidates talked about the heroin problem in the Northeast months ago, with Trump, of course, blaming the lack of security on the Mexican border.
It's clearly the problem.
Ironically, for his heroin problem.
Was it? I want to say that it's a it's, why is it Trump's name on it?
What was the motivation?
I'm wondering, is it like a bunch of racists that are selling heroin to other white people?
Right. How white can you get it?
Why it got to be white people buying heroin?
Well, because that's the majority of people buying heroin nowadays.
Or maybe it was someone who really loved steak, and they're like, "Oh, I bought Trump steak. Maybe I'll enjoy Trump heroin."
Maybe I had some of
Trump
that
steak, Trump wine.
I had some of that Trump wine.
Let's go snort some of that Trump. You don't snort heroin. You put that in your vein.
No, you could snort it.
Okay, optional.
Unless if it's some of that black tar, then you definitely have to shoot it.
Oh,
You could maybe warm it up with some hot water and then maybe drain it into your nasal cavity. But best way,
you got three choices.
Or it has to be powder though in order to really sniff
get the
it.
Sniff.
Yeah, that's like if you remember Pulp Fiction.
And if you're gonna be sniffing the Trump, you better be rolling $100 bill.
Well, if you're sniffing Trump, you know, it's going to be some of that really good Afghan shit. Like the stuff that he had in Pulp Fiction.
And I don't know if it was this show or last show. I think it was last show. But maybe in order for it to be legit Trump heroin, it needs to be shoved up Fernando's ass.
Oh.
And smuggled across the border. Am I right, Nate?
It's entirely possible, Sam.
I think it was last episode.
Maybe it was one of 1,400.
1,400 bags of heroin shoved up
somebody's ass.
Fernando's asshole.
There we go.
We're getting moody.
That's the more you know,
that's the
jingle.
More you know.
You're throwing some throwbacks going on here.
I think they still use it.
I don't know. I work at a Fox station now. I have no idea what NBC does.
Hmm.
Not a clue. Nary a clue. I do want to thank everybody who's been shopping Amazon through that Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com.
Oh, yeah.
Although not a lot of you were in March because it was the worst March, the worst month we've had
since we started doing that. Things were tight. You
the
know?
Worst March.
Spend all the money on the woman during February.
March.
Valentine's Day and shit.
Just saying. It was the worst March ever.
I'm sorry.
Worst month ever.
Hey, guys, you got to help us out.
Check it out. It's pretty simple. Go to NateDarlingShow.com. There's a tab right at the top. It says Shop Amazon. You click that. Bookmark it. Don't do anything else. You bookmark it. It looks just like Amazon. You wouldn't even know the difference. Shop as usual. Every time you purchase something, you're taking from the man, and you're giving to the poor, unfortunate souls over here at the Nate Darling Show.
That's true.
It's not even going in our pocket. It's going right back to the show that you're listening to right now.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you to those who have contributed and bought yourself something nice.
Or something nice for somebody else.
It could just be a gift, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. April, 4 days into April, we'd already gotten pretty close to what we got in March.
Yeah.
You want to know the sad details? In March, $5.38.
Is that like condoms?
No, that's the total of what we got.
All the revenue.
What we got. $5.38.
It's better than zero.
It's better than zero. That means at least
we will say thank you to those who's
at least like $500, like right, $5,000.
But what I will say to everybody else, do better. Do better.
Yeah, let's get better.
You know, if you're thinking of a big purchase, like maybe you're going to go buy a nice foam mattress or something like that, don't you? Please, if you have already, cancel your order. And make sure you click through the tab first. It's worth it. It's worth it.
And even if you don't buy anything, go ahead and do some price matching.
Yes.
Check out what stuff really costs.
Yeah.
And if it's going to save you money, Get it on Amazon. If it's not, get it somewhere else.
Get it somewhere else.
Yeah. I'm not trying to take you down.
No.
I'm just saying,
if you find a better deal, God bless you.
Click on through.
And just get on down.
Get on down. Buy yourself a sweet disco ball. Download on Amazon Prime a sweet disco track. And get down with your bad self.
I was just going to say, get down on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Mother's Day is coming up. Get your mother something nice.
Go buy mama something good.
Get your mom something nice. Have it sent right to her house. And have it gift wrapped.
With a nice little card. Boom. They even put little personalized messages.
Boom. So whether you can get there or not,
the
package will already have arrived, gift wrapped, and you're the thoughtful child.
Hell.
It's that easy.
It's that easy.
It's that easy.
Or if you're someone who has a young child, get that Mother's Day gift for your significant other who bore that baby for you.
Sweet.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and get it done. So.
Dude.
Oh, my God. I got to get a Mother's Day present this year.
It's time, bro.
She's
burying your child.
No, you don't.
She's not technically a mother until the birthing is over.
You know what you do? This year, sweet card.
Oh, yeah.
Next year, you got to get a present.
Yeah, next year.
This year, a really sweet card with something really nice inside. From the heart. From the ticker.
Yeah.
Don't hold back there.
Yeah.
Don't hold back there.
Maybe write a poem.
Yeah.
Oh, get one that's blank inside and write your innermost feelings.
Oh, yeah. And
bitches love that.
Maybe I give her a little oral on the weekend.
Yeah. But take your time with it. Don't rush it.
Yeah, don't jam your tongue
really,
in there.
I mean, work your way up the thighs, you know, and get in there.
Oh, don't worry. That's
your technique. That's the standard. Standard.
Let's just say...
He did a mustache wiggle for those who can't see. It's
right.
Cute.
We have to go.
Yeah, we ran.
Thanks for listening. And remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.